Everyone on the InvestTalk production staff would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, no matter where in the world you may be listening to us. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have new opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve and Justin. Important topics: annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, an updated ETF list, and much more. You can sign up. Again, it's free on investtalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk. On radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, December 16th, the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. I appreciate it. Our mission is to help you make the best possible money choices by providing good information and focusing your attention on the principles of money management and investing in a way that has proven over time, over the years, to be very sound. And what happened today? Remember, today was the Federal Reserve ending of their two-day meeting, and they did raise the rates a quarter point. So what happened? The market rallied. Now, if you remember right, I said that's a very strong possibility because the market reacts. It's buying the news, rumor and selling the news kind of situation. Everybody knew they were going to raise the rates, or everybody thought they knew they were going to raise the rates. And so they reacted to that before today. And after they announced the rate hike, then they said, okay, done. We now know. Now we're not worried about the market right now. Now we'll see how many days of a rally we get. We'll see that. That's kind of important. We're now into the Christmas rally mode after the 15th of every month of December. Last 2 weeks you're supposed to have a Christmas rally. So let's see. We're going to see. And there's some myths out there about the Federal Reserve, and maybe we need to punch some holes in some of the myths. One of the myths is that the Federal Reserve is run by foreigners. Foreigners do not run the Federal Reserve. It is run by a combination of Federal Reserve Board and 12 Federal Reserve banks. They govern the Federal Reserve. Another myth. The Fed isn't part of the U.S. government. Well, for this, the answer comes from David Weiss, former senior economist at the Federal Reserve Board. The Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System is a government entity. The seven members, including the chairman, are appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate and report semi-annually to Congress. Doesn't that sound like they're part of the government? Myth number three, the Fed prints money. They don't print money. The U.S. Treasury, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, part of the U.S. Treasury, prints money. Now, the reason why people think the Reserve prints money is because they control the money supply. Myth number four, but they don't print the money. The Federal Reserve is not audited. Well, William Ford, a former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, says the Fed's Board of Governors is subject to an audit every year by the account services firm Deloitte and Touche Tohmatsu Limited, and they use GAAP principles. So it depends on what you're talking about. And the last one I'll talk about, the Federal Reserve had President John F. Kennedy killed. Come on. These are people who think this. People think this. Okay. They probably think that, your body is taken over by aliens as well. But that's, it's just crazy. Now, do you have questions about the Federal Reserve? Let's get the Q&A portion of the show going. What money matters are you interested in today? Maybe you have questions calculating your money needs in retirement. I could do that. We could do that. I'll try to help. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, guys. This is Rich in Fort Worth, and I currently keep a portion of my funds in an online savings account, which pays about 1.05% interest. Do you think with the increase in the Fed funds rate that this will somehow trickle down to those of us that keep funds in savings accounts with a modest rate increase? Thank you for your show. Always listen.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve raised the rate from 0 to 0.25 to 0.25 to 0.50. Most people consider that a quarter point raise. Okay, and that's the raise. That's the money they charge banks. And then the banks are going to raise their rates. And most likely, it will trickle down to a very small increase in the savings rate. But don't hold your breath. It's not going to be a quarter point jump. No. It's going to be small. It's going to happen, but it's going to be very, very small. So the answer is yes, but don't expect a lot. Good question, though. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Outsmart the Fed with these dividend investments. I got some suggestions about some dividend investments. You know the Fed is going to raise rates. They did it once. And just for historical context, almost every time the Fed changes the direction of the rate and starts to increase them or decrease them, they do it four times in a row, minimal. And it's been in recent history, I'm talking recent history, the last 30 years or so, is a quarter point, quarter point, quarter point, quarter point. They've been it's rare that they do a half a point. Something dramatic has to happen either way. That could happen, but, you know. So most of the quote-unquote pundit experts out there think that the Federal Reserve is going to be up to 1% by the end of next year or the beginning of 2017. They'll be up to 1%. That doesn't mean, you know, that means that they're going to raise rates. If that pattern holds, they would raise rates every other meeting. But, you know, it's going to be subject to economic reality there. Let's talk about what you can invest in, even though the rates might creep up on you. That's going to be one of our main talking points. I want to talk about the housing starts. It was out. The report for November was out this morning. That was pretty impressive. What big money is betting on in 2016? I'm talking about the big institutional investors. Where are they pushing their money? Where is their money going? It's always interesting to know where they're going. And by the way, don't fall in love with what they do. They're not always right either. So don't think that, because they say this, it must be true. No, it tends to be true, but it's not always true. And millennials are moving out of their parents' house, moving out of their apartments, and maybe moving into housing. So I want to talk about millennials. If they are, what's happening with that group of people is kind of interesting because they waited a lot longer to do things than other generations. So let's talk about what they're doing and what effect that might have. And that's going to be the main things that I'm going to discuss today. I also want to talk about, you know, the Congress passed a budget, even though it hasn't been signed by the president, the Senate still has to look at it. But there's a piece in there in that budget I think we need to talk about because it's going to affect us, investors. What did the market do today? The Dow was up 224 points. I know it was up pretty good this morning, not that much. Then it almost went flat, pretty flat. And then once the Fed announced its what it was going to do, the market started to go right back up and ended up near the highs of the day. So the Dow was up 224, the NASDAQ up 76, and the S&P up 30. So it made up, and yesterday and today it made up most of the downstroke it started a week ago. Volatile. The market's pretty darn volatile. And, you know, I think you're going to need to expect it. Now, since we're past the 15th, traditionally, historically, because I do like to look back and find out what patterns exist that might repeat itself. After the 15th of December, the market very often has a Christmas rally. That means a Christmas week and then the week after Christmas. Those 2 weeks. And so we're going to see if that's true. Are we going to get a Christmas rally? And even if we get it, how strong will it be? A couple of interesting things today. The Fed raised rates, right? The dollar was flat. The Fed raises rates, would you think it would strengthen our dollar? But again, the dollar has been strong for all this year, you know, and then recently has gone sideways. But it's up 11, 12% for the year. Maybe the rate increase is built into the price of the dollar. What is also interesting, emerging markets, China, you look at the ETFs for those two places, they were up today, up strong. Huh. Why would us increasing our dollar make them strong? Well, it would make their imports to us look cheaper, but our exports to them more expensive. Maybe they like that. Maybe because that bodes well for their economies. Maybe. Anyways, very interesting day. Very interesting things going on out there. And look at the junk bond market and the bond market. You know, those things are very important as to leading indicators for the overall stock market. And the junk bond market, it's up today. Wasn't up, you know, hugely, but it was up the last couple of days after falling very sharply. We just sent my economic outlook for December out to the InvestTalk Insiders. You can get yours free. Just sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider on InvestTalk.com. 888-99-CHARTERS, how to get through right now. We're live every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time. Let's talk. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART, we're going to go talk to Vic in San Jose. How you doing, Vic?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm wondering about this Alerian MLP. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what would be the best time to buy. I know the MLP been beaten down so much.
So you're trying to figure out if this is a bottom, or you think you want to pick it up cheap?
That and also some income purposes, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Alerian MLP, AMPL, AMLP, I'm sorry, AMLP is the symbol. Exchange-traded fund, taking performance corresponding to the Alerian MLP Infrastructure Index. So they're building infrastructure. They're infrastructure stocks. So first of all, you want to look what's inside there and see what makes them, what holdings they have. And the dividend yield is listed at 11.2%. Well, to be honest, Vic, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get 11.2%. Because if they're following the infrastructure stocks, those stocks don't pay 11.2% dividend yield. They don't. There's no individual stock in the infrastructure index that I know of that pays that much. So how are they paying 11.2%? The only way they can do it is give back your own money, right?
I was wondering if does the pipeline consider infrastructure, or because I know pipeline lately been beaten down so much.
I don't know. I'd have to take a look at that index to find out what's inside there. And I don't really know what's inside there, to be honest, without doing a little bit of research. Now, I'll say this. It will pay a nice dividend. That's not even an issue. It will. It just can't pay 11.2%. I don't see how that's going to be possible. But, you know, they can do it for a while. They can do it for before they have to cut, but it's not realistic. It's not. Now, is a stock cheap enough to buy? Now, remember, this is an MLP, and you want to know if an index is cheap enough to buy. What you have to do is look at those stocks inside it and see if those stocks are cheap enough to buy. And it looks like it's trying to find a bottom right around $10 a share. So it could be. It could be. It's $10.60 right now. So this could be the bottom because it's for 4 or 5 days it's been hovering around that number. So
it's fairly new MLP though, right? I think ETF.
Let's see. ETF, when did it come out?
Probably about a couple of years old, seems like.
Yeah, I can take a quick look. Let's see. It came out in 2000. Actually, it came out in 2010, right at the end of the year. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Appreciate it. Our InvestTalk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I want to hear your question. I would love to hear your question. Any money question. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Paul in San Jose. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, I'm doing good. I don't know if you're Santa Claus or the Grinch, but I love your show.
Okay. I'm not sure who I am either.
I'd like to know what you think about Newmont Mining and Macy's, and I'll take the question on the air. And love listening to you. Take an hour of my day every day, and it's I have a beer and listen to you, and I love your show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let me talk about Macy's. We talked about it a couple of days ago, was it? We talked about Macy's, and I want to talk about big box stores. And what I said before is obviously continues to be true. And I love Macy's. It's a really good store, great brand, Macy's, everything else. But the big box stores, I'm talking about department stores, they're going to have continuing pressure from the internet. Their sales are going down slowly. Some of the Macy's is going down 1, 2, 3, 4%. Earnings are going down about the same. Pressure, pressure, pressure coming from sales on the internet, which is growing very dramatically. So I think you're going to be, Macy's has been falling like a rock also for ever since July. And I would stay away from this whole area. Mind you, Macy's PE is very low. Okay? It's not overpriced. It's actually pretty cheap. Pretty darn cheap.
Yeah.
I mean,
it came from like $68 or something, or $70, down into the 30s. And I thought it might be a good buy right now to pick up because of holiday sales.
Well, I can tell you for sure that that's very inexpensive stock right now. But it's in an industry that is making me very nervous to invest in. I would not invest in this industry at this point. I would do things like Costco and Target and maybe Walmart because they're discount stores. But big box department stores, I think it's just very dangerous. Having said that, Macy's is at a very good price. But notice the stock is still falling. You have to wait till it stops falling. And I'm not sure where that is, but I think I'd be patient, not jump in for a long time. I want to see it gather some strength and the sales start to move back up, if that's possible. And thanks for the call, Paul. Thank you very much. And thanks for listening. I appreciate it. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about maybe some things to help combat the Federal Reserve and its raising rates. I fully believe that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates very, very, very slowly. They're not going to be in a big rush. They are not. And for obvious reasons. You know, the market doesn't want it. There's no inflation. There's no really reason for them to do it other than the rates are really low. There's no overheating of our economy. So why do you need to slow it down? Because raising interest rates takes liquidity out of the market, and they've already taken liquidity out by stopping QE over a year ago. Now they're taking more liquidity out by raising interest rates. That's the result of them raising rates, tightening the money supply. Tightening the money supply in an economy slows the economy down. They don't want to slow the economy down. That's not really their intent. They just want to get the rates up to more normal, whatever that means these days. Anyways, for you as an investor, how do you combat that? Well, one way is obviously is you buy dividend-paying stocks. Dividends go up if interest rates go up. Don't think they won't. They will. So you go to dividend-paying stocks. Well, do you go to the old standbys? Well, there's some new standbys. You know, the old standbys, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Target, you know, Johnson & Johnson, those guys. But there's also, you know, Cisco and Microsoft pay about 3% now. So, you know, you can go the dividend paying route of investing. You know, you get, hopefully that the stocks will increase in value and you still get the dividends. So you get kind of a two for one. Utility stocks. Some of the areas that are tough when rates go up are high yield bonds, and we've seen that already, equity and mortgage REITs, utilities. They tend to fare pretty poorly in a rate-raising environment. They do much better when rates are being lowered. But we're in a rate-raising environment. So those are difficult areas. Doesn't mean you have to avoid it completely, but it's an area that I would be very careful with. Very careful with. We've seen the disaster in junk bonds. And maybe junk bonds are very much oversold now. We might get a bounce, and that kind of seems to be in the cards. But generally speaking, when interest rates are rising, bond funds, and junk bonds especially, do poorly. Bond funds are someplace you need to keep a very short maturity date, a short bond, because at least when they reinvest the money that comes due very quickly, they'll reinvest it in higher yielding instruments. Doesn't mean you're going to get great returns, but at least you know you won't, the net asset value of the fund won't go down as much as interest rates rise. REITs, remember, they borrow a lot of money, REITs. So a rising interest rate environment hurts them. That's why they're not a great place to be. MLPs, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, there's some nice high-dividend ETFs out there. If you're interested in them, I have a list. I'll be happy to send it to you. Just send me a note on InvestTalk.com. I'll send you a list of high-dividend-paying ETFs. You're listening to InvestTalk. Coming up on the next half hour, have you tried to delete your Facebook account but couldn't? That's coming up on InvestTalk Personal.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Some believe the typical split between stocks and bonds as a function of the age of the investor may need to weight more heavily on stocks versus bonds. Is there a better way to build your portfolio? That's one of our talking points on the next Invest Talk. And then there's the topic that you're going to bring up. Please join us then. This is Invest Talk for Wednesday, December 16th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now. Get better acquainted with yourself, your tolerance for risk. Start with a free risk analysis on investtalk.com. Do you have a question about how to reduce risk in a volatile market? Ask it right now. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is John. Calling from Walnut Creek. I just had a question about stop loss and stop limit orders. Are they more or less the same? And which one do you guys prefer to use? And also regarding trailing stop losses and trailing stop limits, what's the best way to find the best dollar amount to use for that? Do you use a spread between the intraday high and low, or do you just look at the lows over the past month or two and decide where to set your stop loss or stop limit? Thank you guys very much. You have a very nice show. Bye-bye.
Okay, stop loss, stop limit. Stop loss means you're going to get out of something and you put in a price before, you put in a request to get out of it. And when you use the word limit in a stop limit order, that means you want out at a specific price. I want out at $32.12. Okay? A stop loss, if it's not a limit order, it's a market order, then that means I want to be out at $32. If it goes below $32, I want out. So no matter where it goes below $32, they're going to get you out of the very next trade. What if it skips over 32 and goes down 10 bucks to 22 the very next trade? You'll be out at 22. But a limit order, you'll be out, you wouldn't be out at all because it skipped over your price. You want a specific price. That's what a limit orders is. Then he talked about a trailing stop loss or stop limit. The trailing means you're following the stock up, and if it breaks below a certain number, percentage, whatever it is you want, you get out. Okay, and that's very most houses won't take a trailing stop loss order. Don't have them. They want more specific. So it depends on where you're trading. Who's your custodian? Who's your broker dealer? What will they allow? You know, they will, you know, and do you put an order in for the day or forever? Is it unlimited time? Usually most broker-dealers won't allow that. So, you know, it's more difficult than I prefer a stop limit, by the way, because I think that was another question. If I wanted to get out, I want to get out at a certain price. And that's what I would prefer. And, you know, people have asked me about stop losses, which should maybe 10% from the high, should it be 5%, what should it be? And I wish there was an easy answer. It depends on the volatility of the underlying stock. How volatile is it in a day, a week? And, you know, if it's really, really volatile, maybe you don't want a 10% stop loss. Maybe it's too tight. Or maybe it's not volatile hardly at all, barely moves, then you want it much tighter than a 10%. See, it depends. I wish it was easy, but it's not. Housing starts report this morning. Housing starts for November was up a surprising 10.5% to 1,173,000 units. That's the annual pace, okay? 1,173,000. And there were the expectation was 1,140,000, so it was much. It was a surprised increase. Multifamily units were up 18%, and single family units were up 7.6%, and that was a surprise for single family units. Usually, it's been this whole housing recovery has been driven by multifamily units, but this time, that's a pretty good boost for single family units. Permits were also up 11% to 1.28 million. Okay, so that's good. And guess where it was the strongest? It was strongest in the South, up 21%, and in the Northeast, down 8.5%. So that was the report out today. Now, Fed is raising rates. Will that affect the mortgage rates? Most likely. It may have already affected them. You know, and I think it has already affected them. So, you know, the Federal Reserve will be watching that very carefully. They don't want to slow down the housing market. That's been one of our pillars of strength is our housing market in this economy. And I really don't think it's going to affect it that much. I don't. Now, it's just too small of a raise. As I mentioned earlier, my economic market forecast for December is out for InvestTalk insiders. The forecast considers the economy, U.S. equities, foreign equities, fixed income, commodities. We list recommended portfolio weightings, those kinds of things. That's what's in that forecast. We try to make it useful as we can for all, for anybody, client or not a client, anybody who wants that information. It's free. It comes out every month to InvestTalk Insiders, and you can sign up as an InvestTalk Insider for free at investtalk.com.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today. And whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia. What do you guys think of Celanese Corporation? It's C as a Charlie, E as an Echo. It looks like a good company. What's your thoughts on it? Thanks. Bye.
Well, it is a very good company. Celanese Corporation manufactures chemical products, including acetate products and high-performance engineered polymers, sold worldwide. It's a $9.8 billion company. So that's a big cap company, big capitalization company. They're going to make $6.04 this year's share. That's 7% more than last. And they're going to make $6.40 next year. That's another 6% more than this year. So next year. But sales have been falling, so they have to be squeezing that profit out by better profit margins or cutting costs, because you can't have sales falling. And in the most recent quarter, 20%, the quarter before that, 17%, the quarter before that, 15%. You can't have sales falling. Eventually, that's got to turn around. And you obviously can't have sales falling and earnings continue to rise. You can't do it forever. You can do it for a while. You can make it look like that. You can cut costs and you can increase your prices. Maybe that's what you're doing. The P/E ratio right now is about 11. It's a $67 stock, and it's going to be about 10 next year. But don't think that that's cheap. It's not. The five-year average of this company is 7 to 13. So it's never been a very high P/E stock. It wouldn't be. It's a very stable kind of business, not a high growth business. So the PE would be low, so don't Don't get excited about it. I find no reason to own this stock. There's nothing here that I see that tells me, oh, I want to be in this company. Growth in sales is not there. And the growth that it did have a year ago was in the single-digit percentages. So what's going to – give me a reason to buy this stock. What's going to be the catalyst to drive this stock higher? And I don't see it. You could say, well, the import cost is cheaper, which is, you know, oil, natural gas, because, you know, that's probably what they use to make their chemicals. But I don't know that. I'd have to do more research to find out, but it's probably true. So, you know, so maybe their costs are going down, and that's why their profits are going up, not because their sales are going up, because they're not. So it would not be on my list. I would not buy this company. Celanese, CE is a symbol, Celanese Corporation. Time for Invest Talk Personal, getting your face off Facebook. Now, if you signed up for Facebook and you tried to delete your account, well, you'll be surprised because it really, really does not mean you deleted it. It's still there. If you re-sign up for it, I don't know if you know this, but if you go back in and put in your same email address and your same password, everything shows up that was there before. It never got deleted. All your settings, your same friends, your same, you know, your same everything, everything that was there. So don't think that works. But there is a company that helps with this, an online company. And, you know, it's a company called Just Delete Me. Just Delete Me. And you go to their website, www.justdelete.me. Okay, no spaces. They will help you. They rate the things from hard to easy to medium, you know, to get deleted. So it's really kind of a nice piece of software that will help you delete you wherever you want to be deleted from. Because when you put delete, it does not necessarily mean you're gone. If you want to close your Amazon account, that probably is pretty hard to do. Any accounts, pretty hard to do. So, you know, don't think it just because you say delete and it's off of there and you don't see it, it's gone. It's not. So be careful. For more information, you can go to delete online account. Visit www.justdeleteme.com.me. Justdelete.me. That's what it is. www.justdelete.me. That's Invest Talk Personal. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasland. I'm here to try to answer some questions, money questions. You can call me anytime you want. 888-99-CHART.
When studying the economy, we look at economic reports from the various government and non-government agencies. These reports fall into two broad categories. They're called leading and lagging economic indicators. Economic indicators, just one of the many info sheets that you can access anytime when you're an InvestTalk insider. Join up for free on InvestTalk.com.
I had a question about educational IRAs. I have some money, about $70,000 set aside for my child to go to college, and there's still a few years for him to go, 4 years, and I don't want to get hit with taxes selling stock to pay for his education, so I wondered which is better, an educational IRA or a Coverdell IRA. I'm not sure I know the difference, and how much can I contribute each year, or is there another way to avoid taxes on selling stock to pay for his education?
Well, if you have you can open up a Coverdell. It's $2,000 a year you can put in it, and you can invest that money. And as that money grows, you sell stocks to pay for education, there's no taxes owed on that, okay? Because it's after-tax money that goes into it. And, of course, there's the 529 program, which you could put, I think it's $17,000 a year, much higher number. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Away in a 529 program, and those are state-sponsored programs. And the same thing is true. You don't pay any taxes on the gain. So you could sell stocks inside there, and you won't pay any taxes. If you put money aside outside those two vehicles for education, an account is on your name. It's just an account in your name. You might, in your mind, designate it for education, but that's not how the government looks at it. It's your account. So it depends on how you structured it. You say you're only a year or two away. You have $70,000. Well, what kind of account is it? Is it a personal account of yours or a joint account, you and your wife? Is it an UPMA, an account for the benefit of your child with you as the controlling manager of that money? You know, so it depends. It depends on what you did. But those two things are the only thing you have. You have a Coverdell, $2,000 a year, and a 529 program, state-sponsored by individual states, and it's in much more, it's 10, 15, 17,000, I don't remember exactly. Let's go to Frank in Redwood City. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing good, Steve. Hey, got a question for you. With the Fed rate in hike, I wanted to see what your professional opinion is on pharma and tech-wise for the month of December going into the end of the year. That being strength there or weakness?
Most likely, I mentioned at the top of the hour, most likely the Fed's rate was anticipated and all the action was beforehand as far as interest rates. And we saw that the dollar actually was flat today after the Fed raised the rates. So you would think the dollar would strengthen, and it didn't. And you also saw the markets rally strongly after the Fed came out with its announcement and raised the rates. And most people will assume, well, that, wait a minute, rates raising is tightening the money supply, so the market should go down and the dollar should go up. Well, I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I've been mentioning that it's very possible the opposite would be true because everybody already anticipated it. So we should, you know, historically, Frank, we get a Christmas rally from the 15th to the end of the month. We usually get a Christmas rally.
Okay.
So I can't tell you if we are going to get it, but historically we generally get it, and this is the time frame that it starts. Okay?
Okay. All right, because I'm in those, so I guess it's a hold and write them out, huh?
Yeah, I'd say at least till the end of the year, see what happens. Have some stops in just in case. You know, in general, Frank, when the Federal Reserve starts to raise rates, the stock market doesn't like that kind of environment. It does not like it. But on the show yesterday, I said, however, in a rate-raising environment, in the cycles for since 1970 or so, every time they started raising the rates, the market has gone up about 9%. So,
With that said, what do you see the first 2 weeks of the first of the year?
Oh man, it's so hard to know, Frank, on what a 2 week period's going to do. All I can tell you is give you. I'm a bit nervous about the whole market next year. I am. I don't know about the beginning of next year, but I'm a little bit nervous. Thanks for the call, Frank. I have to go. As we move into the final segment of the day, we welcome your questions about any money matter. Why is risk tolerance important? How important is it to you? Give us a call. You can take a look at 888-99-CHART is our number. We're going to talk to Mike next. Okay, why don't we go talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. Thanks. I was hoping you look at a rigs chart, and I was looking for a trade for maybe a couple of weeks. Is there a possibility of it going up?
Okay, RIG, R-I-G is the symbol. It's Transocean Limited is the name of the company. It provides offshore contract drilling for oil and gas wells worldwide. So you can imagine with low oil prices, it has been crushed, and it has been. And the question is when will that business, that drilling, offshore drilling business pick up? And it probably is not going to pick up very fast, Mike. So I'm going to say it's not going to be a very strong company. Having said that, I think it looks like it's trying to put in a bottom. I mean, you're talking about a P looking backward of 3, but it's going to make $3.73 a share this year. It made $4.94 last year. Next year, it's only going to make 67 cents. So that means the PE based on next year's earnings is a 20. So it's not cheap. You're asked, will it bounce? I think it will bounce. Yes, Mike. I think it will bounce up. It started today. I think it could very easily bounce up to, you know, about, let's see, the next resistance level is going to be about 1460. That's about a dollar up from here, a little more than a dollar. Then you got a lot of resistance at 17, but I don't think it's going up there anytime soon. But will it bounce? Probably, yes. That would be my guess, Mike.
Good enough. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate the call. But, you know, you do have, if it gets below 12, you got to be out of there. You really do. Because that's the low. It's been there 2-3 times and bounced from that low. So that's something. It was down a nickel today. Yesterday it was up nicely, but down a nickel today. 888-99 chart. Well, Congress passed a budget, and what was interesting, you know, in the course of they had to get it through the Senate. The House has to get it through the Senate. The House is the one to pass the budget. They got to get it through the Senate, and of course it's got to be signed by the President. But that's neither here nor there. The reason why I'm even talking about this is it's a compromise bill that gets rid of the ban on oil exports. Now, I realize we're not in the mood to export oil right now, whatever. But that means that the oil companies and drillers and, you know, all the Texas fracking going on, they can actually sell their oil overseas if they want to, if the demand's there. I think that's interesting. Let's go to Chris in San Jose. How you doing, Chris?
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much for taking my call. On the same note as the last caller in the energy world, FuelCell, F-B-E-L, do you see any hope for this company?
Now, that's FuelCell company. That's, boy, that chart looks ugly, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah, it's insanely ugly.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah, the symbol is F-C-E-L. F is in Frank, C is in Cat, E is in Eel, L is in Larry. Fuel Cell Energy Company manufactures stationary fuel cells worldwide. And this industry has been a promise that they're going to come up with something for years and years and years, something that might be used in the automobile industry, and it would revolutionize, you know, the automobile industry, like electric cars. And it just hasn't really happened. It's much more difficult than everybody thinks it is. You can make large fuel cells and produce energy, and that seems to be working. This company hasn't made money until, it won't make money until 2017. So the stock is just going to be, I would stay away from it, Chris. It just doesn't make money. And its sales are falling. It's $138 million. I don't see any hope for this company in the near future. So I'd stay away from it, Chris.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Anyways, what are millennials doing? They're moving out. The most educated generation is the millennials. Did you know that? They're the most educated generation ever. And college-educated people buy houses. College-educated millennials start getting married around 25, 26. All college-educated kids around 25, 26. And what are the age of the millennials? The big slug of millennials, the biggest slug is age 24, 25. What is that going to do for investments? Our hour's up. Remember, you can see a long list of books that we recommend to help you gain knowledge and perspective. Go to our website. Just look for the recommended books on investtalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow here on Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.